The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, everybody, come on in. It is Wednesday, final hour on this 24th day of April, this Wednesday. Go Mavs, nice bounce back after a pretty depressing loss to the Clippers. It's like, I am not feeling good about this series. And I'm certainly feeling better now because that removes home court advantage when you win one on foreign territory. That means you got home court advantage. All the Mavs have to do is win all their games at home and they advance to the next round, which is the only way to win the NBA championship, as we did in 2011. The Stars gave up home ice by getting off to a terrible first period start against the Vegas Golden Knights, and whoops! So the Knights now have home ice, but Stars can rebound tonight. Hope they do, because silly, greedy me, I want to win an NBA championship and a Stanley Cup at the same time. Nobody's ever done that. Some folks have come close. There have been like 9 examples where a city or a metro area had because the NBA and NHL playoffs happened at the same time, where they had an NBA champion, but no Stanley Cup. Stanley Cup, but no NBA champion. So let's why not us? Okay. So into this multi-topic adventure, where of course Trump on trial, of course pro-Hamas lunatics occupying our college campuses. Boy, that one where they had folks barricaded in a building in California, that lasted a few hours yesterday. That was at, I said, where's that? That was at Cal Poly Humboldt, up in the northern part of the People's Republic of California. And UT Dallas had about 100 jack wagons, cramming a hallway, you know, saying that the university needs to stop doing business with evil Israel. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah, just no. So today, I mentioned in the 9 o'clock hour, a little bit of a story on, and I hate this, it's pathetic dudes with the mail order brides from Eastern Europe. In this particular case, it's a woman. There was some guy from Scotland who won her heart online, which would be impossible to do. And he like didn't have any money, so she gave him hers. And I know it's easy for us from the outside to say, "Hey, here's an idea. Don't be an idiot." You know, so and it's easy to do. It's easy, but by the way, so don't do it. So I mean, just if there's anything that I want to do, and again, it's easy to live somebody else's life and do it vicariously, and we should always understand that there are ways in which people just get ensnared by things. They get roped into things. They get, you know, entrapped by things, and they get, but so just be smarter, be vigilant, head on a swivel, because it's a crazy fallen world. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. Can I drop this in here real quick? Let me do a call and then drop something in real fast, because Nikki mentioned this in the newscast. I have never been to a Foxtrot coffee shop, and apparently I now never will be, because they closed. And look, the closing of a coffee shop chain, not the kind of thing that would usually meet the bar of talk show coverage, but the really weird way in which they did it. You ever go to a business and then you learn that that business is closing? Usually happens a couple of ways. One, there's like a sign. It's like, we're sorry, but, you know, effective in a couple of weeks, we have to close. And, you know, it's very melancholy. And, you know, you went there, so it's like it's a law. Oh, I'm sorry. The other way is you show up one day and there's a sign on the door. Whoops. Guess they closed. Or, and this was the case yesterday, you're knocking down a latte at the Foxtrot on Greenville, and they kick you out because they're closing right now. What? Yeah, because I guess the Foxtrots, and I've heard people speak really, they were apparently great, maybe not great enough. Chapter 11, there were one in Greenville, one in Uptown, one in University Park, one on Knox. Not anymore. And Peyton Yeager did a story on this last night on Fox 4. Let me play that in a second. But first, phone calls. We are in Waco. Brian, Mark Davis, happy Wednesday. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, same to you, Mark. Hey. So it's kind of a hypothetical, but the way these rascal Dems are handling Trump right now, here he is marching toward the convention.
Yep.
If they found a way to somehow have him locked up during the convention, how would that be handled if he was the presumptive nominee?
All right, well, he would then be the actual nominee. The delegates are counted on here. Right, this is fascinating. Let's go to the calendar and let's play this out. The Republican convention is in Milwaukee, and it gavels in on Monday, the 15th of July. Monday's kind of a housekeeping day, doing business, get everybody in town. Get their livers ready for all the drinking to follow. Kidding, sort of. Tuesday, you get into the delegate stuff and the action and the roll calls and the various things that are done. The Trump acceptance speech would be Thursday, July 18th. So the first thing, your very good question is, what if he's chained to a courtroom like he is now? If the convention were right now, he could not go unless it was on one of the off days. So a couple of things. First, as of right now, there is no trial action scheduled for mid-July. Could some pernicious political hack judge try that? Yeah, he could. There are two potential negatives to that. One is that judge would be such, I mean, even surely the left must realize when they overplay their hand sometimes, and the way this trial goes may be exhibit A in the dangers of overplaying their hand. So maybe there would just be a realization that that's not the smartest thing in the world to do. Number two is if there is a trial and there is a free day, it's like, hey, Mr. Trump, you got to be in trial in court every day but Wednesday. We change Jimmy up the schedule a little bit for the convention if it's possible and have that acceptance speech, which is a foregone conclusion, have him deliver it on the off day. So the likelihood of Trump simply not able to deliver his convention acceptance speech because of a courtroom obligation, that seems to be a pretty low probability right now.
You know what would be so funny, though, not funny, but I think would give him, his stock would go up, is if he broadcast his acceptance speech from jail or something.
Well, we've I love the orange jumpsuit with the red tie. Take a look at this. And I mean, we've kind of ramped it up a little bit. First, you were talking about him being in trial. Now we're on trial. Now we're talking about him actually being in prison. I don't think, first of all, he's never going to prison. That's not going to happen. Even if a conviction were to happen, it's not anything that would occur by July. But you may be onto something here. Court doesn't happen at night. I mean, I don't know if we have some junior Concorde available that can get him from whatever courtroom is, wherever the courtroom is in question, to Milwaukee, some Hyperloop or something. But could you throw up a Zoom thing on a massive screen at the arena in Milwaukee? I'd love to be here with you, but unfortunately, I mean, that it might be one of the most emotional and riveting and instructive convention speeches in history. You're going to make me root for a court appearance there in the middle of July. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much. Okay, let's see. 9:18. Here we go. The weirdest closure of a business in recent history. Peyton Yeager, Channel 4 last night.
Employees and customers, they were alerted that this business was closing down as Foxtrot was open for business this morning. Customers were told to leave the location, and the employees were told right then and there that by the end of the day, they were without a job.
I'm just so confused. Like, why so sudden? Literally, just today, boom, done. Closed, gone. Anyone have answers, please let me know.
Everything seemed fine. I really think the employees had no idea.
Doing some work outside on the patio, and then the general manager comes out and she's like, hey, y'all, like, just letting you know, like, we're shutting down effective immediately.
Golly, so suck down that latte and hit the road.
Isabella Latuso was left baffled Tuesday morning. Minutes after snapping this photo and sending it to her mom, the 23-year-old was told out of the blue by management to leave the Dallas coffee shop Foxtrot located off Knox Street.
As I was leaving, I saw the note on the front door that basically was like, dear Knox neighbors, like, we're so sorry to close the doors effective immediately, like, we'll miss you all.
Dom's Kitchen and Market and Foxtrot abruptly announced Tuesday in a statement they're immediately closing all stores. Just a few months after the boutique grocers merged. The closure affects more than 30 Foxtrot markets across the country, including four in Dallas. The company announced plans to file for bankruptcy protection, leaving customers with questions.
Shocking, because no one was given any notice or anything.
And their employees without a job.
Yeah, and the little notice said, as of today, we're done. Thanks. We Foxtrot closed forever, the sign on the door. Okay. We're in Hearst. Randy, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
I am well.
Hey.
I'm very well.
Howdy.
You mentioned something a minute ago, and I'm not a huge sports fan, but if the Mavs and if the Stars were to pull this off, it would be a trifecta because we still have the Rangers that just pulled off the World Series.
Okay, yes, but the thing, the significance
within,
of it, well, that's a different year. It's kind of like
seasonal years.
No.
But
the baseball season is now. So a couple of things. First of all, the reason Mavs and Stars were significant is they're happening at the same time, and no city has ever won. I think we probably had an NBA championship and a World Series or a Super Bowl and an NHL Stanley Cup or something like that. But the two that are going on at exactly the same time, NHL and NBA, no city's ever won them at the same time. Consecutively, you're right, because what's the last thing the Rangers did? Win the World Series. But if we're talking years, that was the 2023 World Series.
No.
But I'll take it. Because that, hey, what's the last thing the Rangers did? I know last night choked to the Mariners, but hey, let's not focus on that. They won the World Series. You know, hey, listen, maybe we'll get that NBA, NHL double shot and a Rangers repeat in October. Let's get, if we're going to get greedy, let's get really greedy. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. They're building a church in your neighborhood. Great. But there's one particular neighborhood where they don't think it's so great, and it's because the church is too big? Is that it, really? We'll examine. Next, 921.
Oh, yeah. Tell me you turn me on. But quick as a flash, your love is gone. Baby, I'm gonna leave you now.
So if you're thinking, hey, what's this? Some early Bad Company? Partial credit for a good ear, that is indeed Paul Rogers. But nah, it's the band before Bad Company. That would be Free. Remember All Right Now? Of course you do. This is the title track from that album, 1970, called Fire and Water. Free had like four albums or something before they disbanded, freeing Paul Rogers to go do Bad Company stuff. All righty, they're doing church building stuff. I should have saved Hozier's Take Me to Church. I should have played earlier. Should have saved that for now. Because they're building a church in Fairview, just south of McKinney. Fairview's awesome. Lovely, lovely little burb up there south of McKinney. McKinney. And so church is coming, and folks are going, wait a minute. Why is that? Channel 8, Jobin Panicker.
It's the small town feel with big house lots.
A stone throw to all the conveniences of the big cities.
That's why they chose Fairview. In March, Joel Shue got a letter about a new incoming neighbor.
8.6 acres.
Plans for a nearby temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All was fine.
Also known as the... So is it we have Mormon phobia, or is it just massive church phobia?
It was going to be a church. But had no
First of all, I don't think it can be the former. because please give me Mormon neighbors. I mean, I can't imagine a more considerate, fastidious, great, clean living, wonderful group of people. However, if it's now here, you know, my Mormon temple experience is, again, I'm growing up in the suburbs of DC, and I don't remember when they built this thing. The Mormon temple in Kensington, Maryland. I mean, when they finally built that thing and you come over the crest of the beltway on like the outer loop of the beltway going counterclockwise, and it's like the Magic Kingdom at Disney meets the Emerald City. I mean, it is wild. Now, I don't recall there being, I don't think the people of suburban Kensington, Maryland, right off the beltway there in Montgomery County, were, I don't recall there being a big ruckus about, oh, here comes the Mormon temple. I think they had a massive tract of land there already. Let me, since I've yammered here and taken me to 9:30, let me get into the newsroom with Nikki Whaley. We'll come back and do the rest of Job and Panicker's story, because the locals not thrilled about the Mormon temple. And so what's the beef? And we'll examine. 9:30, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Little Moby porcelain. We're going to close today. It's a sparse day of musical birthdays, but I got one. And I was going to do something with this guy earlier, and I thought, nah. He fronted a band, and he might still be. I don't know. I don't know who's around anymore and who's not. Somebody just told me that I just played a Foghat record, that Foghat is playing at something called the Rattlesnake Roadhouse. God, are they all right? Are they got car payments? I mean, Lonesome Dave Peverett is gone. Rod Price is gone. Dave's dead. It's like at this point, it's a Roger Earl tribute band. But, well, it's like Boston is a Tom Scholz tribute band. Because no other original members are around, because a lot of them are dead too. At the Rattlesnake Roadhouse in Walnut Springs, it's near Glen Rose, beautiful town. Apparently this Saturday. Okay. Look at the I saw Foghat at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland with 18,000 people. Of course, that was 1975 or 76 or something like that, on the heels of Slow Ride and Fool for the City. And now they're playing for free beer at the Rattlesnake Roadhouse. God love them. Hey, listen, you know, you're on tour. At least you got something going on. But anyway, to close the show today, be here, because we got one. It's a guy who fronted a band that had a couple of hits, and I thought they were pretty good. But if your prom was like, oh, wow, dude, they played that at my prom in the mid-'80s. You young whippersnappers, my prom was in 1975, but I'll throw the youngsters a little something at the close of the show today. Okay, I backed up 20 seconds because I was yammering and we had to get to news on time. So Job and Panicker last night on Channel 8, Fairview, just south of McKinney. And I don't know who sent the letters out, but here's a guy who got a letter that said, hey, you're getting a new neighbor. All right. It's a church. Okay, great. On like 8 acres. Okay, it's a really big church. I mean, I go to a really big church, Fellowship in Grapevine, but it's not like there are houses right now. So here's, well, let's play that little game called What's the Problem?
March Joel Shu got a letter about a new incoming neighbor.
8.6 acres.
Plans for a nearby temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All was fine.
We knew it was going to be a church, but had no idea to what extent.
Until they said...
To what extent? Right, anyway.
They heard how big it was going to be.
And I'm having a hard time believing what was presented in the letter is actually going to occur.
It's been dubbed the McKinney, Texas Temple, a 44,000-square-foot multi-story building on the 8-acre site along Stacy Road near the current church. The church's press release makes no mention, and what residents have come to find is how tall its spire will be.
What? That's beautiful. I mean, all right.
173 feet, which is 16 stories high.
Yeah. 173 feet, which would be the tallest structure in Fairview, is not reasonable and prudent.
This is. Well, who cares how tall it is? I mean, listen, if it's emitting some enormous noise, or you got, I mean, yeah, how many Mormons can you pack into a temple? I mean, I don't. Is it a traffic thing? the height of the spire is the problem?
Call us one of our water towers.
Henry Lesner is the mayor of Fairview, and he's talking about this water tower. The mayor confirms the roof line is expected to be about 65 feet high. These neighbors say both measurements far exceed town standards.
All right. Well, towns have standards for a reason. What exactly is the reason for this? All right. You want a reason for a height standard? I got one for you. Why are there no skyscrapers in Washington? You ever been to D.C.? Yeah, if you go to New York, go to San Francisco, go to Dallas, you have 50-story buildings, blah, blah, blah. You'll never have them in Washington. Know why? Tallest building in Washington, like 14, 15, 16 maybe stories, because of a standard, because of a law that says no building in the city limits of D.C. will be taller than the United States Capitol, which is 230. Mark Washington Monument, not an office building, not a building that you occupy. I know Washington Monument's 555 feet. U.S. Capitol, 231, I want to say. So I think that's a lovely standard. No buildings taller than the Capitol. But 170-foot spire for a Mormon temple in McKinney? Help me understand why that's a problem.
The church has applied for a conditional use permit. The property is zoned residential, which will have to change. Natalie Meehan says a petition has gone around the Fairview neighborhoods. She says this has nothing to do with religion. Her family are members of The Church of Jesus Christ.
So we're just asking that they scale back.
The mayor's...
To 140 feet? I mean, what do you all want?
They've received over 1,100 emails on the topic, for and against. He says the town's only job is to be fair.
Let's see what our planning and zoning group does.
That's Henry Lesner, who's the mayor of Fairview.
Let's see what the LDS folks do. How does that all work together?
The church has invited us to its next informational meeting on May 2nd. They cannot confirm any measurements at this time. Planning and zoning will first hear the church's proposal in early May. City Council by June.
Fighting for Fairview. That's all we got.
In Fairview. I'm joking.
We're fighting. We must keep this tall structure out. I know we're Fairview's talk show. Help me out, y'alls. What's the problem with a big old tall church spire? I don't know. I mean, listen, everything is growing so, I mean, Plano, Frisco, the Colony, golly, Moses. There's sticking a huge Universal Studios theme something up somewhere. And it's like, wait a minute, whoa, what's that going to do to traffic in my neighborhood or my kid trying to get home from school? That I totally understand. 170-foot spire on a church. I don't get it. All right, on the list of things that I don't get, I don't get how people get roped into this. Brian New on Channel 11 does investigative stuff every once in a while and did a little bit of a deep dive into this. And, well, let me just, it's a romance scandal or something like this. Here we go. Here's this. I just feel sorry for this woman. But as I hear this, I just wish I wish I could be in the room and go, stop it. Stop it. You know, just a voice of wisdom. I mean, just, anyway, Brian New last night, Channel 11. See if has anything like this ever happened to you or anybody, you know,
them, the damage can often extend far beyond their bank account.
So his story was that he was from Scotland.
The dramatic music means you know something terrible is about to happen.
In hindsight, she says the red flag seemed so obvious.
He had been mugged and robbed and shot.
Of course he had.
Even.
But for this...
I've been robbed, I've been shot, lass. What are you going to do?
Any woman who asked...
Sorry, I've turned him into Mike Myers now. So Scottish is crap.
Not to show her identity. She says her loneliness was blinding.
So he didn't have any money.
Okay. Just her. What? That's actually kind of poetic. Her loneliness was blinding. That's beautifully put. I guess that's kind of what happens is when there's just your life is just you got solitary life going on, loneliness, you're insulated. And that takes, you know, your usual vision, your view, your steadfastness, your sense of care, and just dashes it against the rocks because, oh, here's somebody who says I'm pretty or somebody who will pay attention to me. It's just so unbelievably sad. And I know this happens. So listen, go to church. If you don't want to do the bar scene, I mean, just find a church, find a group, do volunteering, get out into the real world. I guess I'll tell you what I smell here is the continuing hazards of the online sludge pit where there are all kinds of people just mobilizing constantly to victimize ladies like this.
Basically, and didn't have access to any money.
So how much money did you end up sending them?
I got up lucky with a total of $3,200.
That's lucky. And listen, I guess compared to others, I guess so.
But it's not the financial loss that haunts her. It's the realization that the person she spent months chatting with on Instagram was nothing more than a scammer.
Months.
And she, a college-educated professional woman, fell for it.
Why don't you think you saw those red flags in the moment?
Because I was... felt as though I was desperately alone.
Where does that... Then don't be alone. There's a world out there. It's filled with other people. There are places to go and things to do. This is the devil working through those phones. And again, the phones themselves are smartphones, et cetera, as Dr. Phil will tell you in his wonderful new book, We've Got Issues. Phone itself is a wonder of technology. It's a reflection of us, meaning it can be wonderful. It can be terrible. It's what we use it for and what we do with it. And it's just there with us every day in our faces. And if you're just, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm kind of sad sack, lonely life, and I guarantee there's somebody you can find. And it might, and by the way, which could be awesome. Because, you know, the bar scene is not the best place in the world to find a mate, you know? And there are people, I know tons of people have been married for years and, you know, it was Match.com or some such or some app and it worked. This lady, not so much.
Think, you know, how could I be so stupid? I tried to kill myself. Because I felt like I couldn't live knowing that I had participated in something.
What? Cynic dude, $3,000? Brush it off and go forth. And again, easy to say, hard to do. I don't know if this is just straight up mental illness, but once again, the voice of Dr. Phil in my head again. This is when suicide ideation and self-absorption, it's these damn phones, excuse me, because it's all about you and your feelings and your life and your this, and you're made to feel terrible. And because everybody, and it's very visual. So we used to go through life like this. Imagine your head up, scanning the streets, scanning the world, living life, talking to people. And now we go through life like this. Hunched over, staring at our phone screens, immersing ourselves in its dangers.
Like that.
Last year, Texas residents alone reported more than 46,000 imposter scams to the Federal Trade Commission, making it the number one type of fraud reported. But despite this staggering number, federal investigators say this crime is largely underreported due to shame and embarrassment.
I totally get it. Nobody wants to, you know, it's kind of funny. She went to like college educated. There was a woman who, this pretty famous, who'd she work for, who had a degree and was a reporter covering financial issues. And she got totally roped into one of the most completely obvious phishing scams. We've noticed some hacking on your computer. Please call this number and you'll be handed. And they handed her from person to person to person. At every point, anybody with a brainstem should have said, obvious scam, obvious ripoff. And she just dove right in, gave him like 50 grand.
I did not come from a rich family.
On the other side of these scams are people like Chris Maxwell in Nigeria.
It's a common thing here. People do it a lot.
Using this picture he stole from an innocent person off the internet, along with a step-by-step scam guide, Maxwell said he would go to Facebook and dating websites pretending to be an American soldier. The former romance scammer targeted divorced and widowed women from the United States.
There's where you find them.
Over the course of 4 years, he talked to more than 100 women online, with 10 ultimately sending him money.
And there you are. That's kind of funny. Well, talked to 100 women online, 10 of them sent him money. That's only a 10% stupidity quotient. But 10% of a lot of people is a lot of money. So, again, I offer this for one simple reason. Don't be a big dummy. Head on a swivel. Just be smart. Just be wary, very wary of this treacherous online world. And if loneliness is your thing, and if you just kind of feeling solitary, just get out of the house. Go do something. Volunteer. Find a group. Join a thing. Go to church. I'm dead serious about going to church. Oh, by the way, you know, might save your soul. There's a nice bonus. So anyway, all right. I live to serve. 9:50. Yeah, buddy. Little Night Ranger, 1984, kids. Motorhead. What does this even mean? What's your price for flight? Finding Mr. Right, I don't know. The song, of course, is Sister Christian. It is Jack Blade's birthday out front of Night Ranger. Now, the Night Ranger aficionados will notice that it's actually drummer Kelly Kagi on the vocal here. And with the songwriting credit, because I think his brother had a daughter named Kristen or something like that. I don't know. But the song is pretty great. I know for Jack Blades on the vocal, I should have done Don't Tell Me You Love Me or When You Close Your Eyes. Ah, what fun is that? Little Night Ranger to take us out. And happy birthday, Jack Blades. Happy anniversary, Rhonda and KC. Speaking of Rhonda. On the Twitter, X at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. Mike Gallagher is next, motoring through your day. We're going to motor into the Thursday show and see what comes out of the exhaust. That's an unfortunate metaphor. So have a great rest of your day. Mark Davis, see you tomorrow at 7, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.